Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bulls Beat Podcast Show, the Chicago Bulls Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls. We are a day into free agency as I record this now, just a little bit after noon on Sunday. And Sunday should be a day of rest, but now it's a day of watching all the NBA news and seeing what's going down. And so far, the way free agency is shaped up doesn't seem too bad to me as a Bulls fan. And so I've got an off-season plan I'm going to share with you. I think I've given like little bits and pieces over time, so it won't be a big shock. But I think this is the direction I'm going. A couple trades that maybe would make sense. And it'll obviously depend on what the other team wants to do and if this makes sense to them. But a couple ideas that the Bulls might want to pursue. So here we go. First, and the big news is just kind of that Paul George decides to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think this is a great move for the Thunder, obviously, to keep George. They've got Westbrook. They've got, you know, some guys here that can really become good players. I think they may be looking to move Carmelo Anthony. I think that is where the Bulls might actually be able to take some deal. If they can take on most of Anthony, maybe send back Felicio to the Thunder. The Thunder save just a whole ton of short-term money and luxury tax money by sending Anthony's salary out. Bulls, in my opinion, then just keep Anthony for the year, or they can work out a buyout for him. I'm not really excited about keeping him. But either way, I think that then is one way the Bulls might be able to dump Felicio's contract, and that might have come out of the way this is happening. I don't think the Thunder want Anthony around, and I don't think Anthony really wants to be there either. So that's one idea. I think obviously the move that people are looking at is to trade with the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Denver Nuggets probably are going to sit back and wait a little bit and hope that the Lakers don't use up all their cap room on big-name free agents, because if they don't, the Lakers will also be a team that will be in the bidding to take on their salary for them. So the Nuggets need to unload a whole bunch of salary if they want to save luxury tax money. They've got three guys, Wilson Chandler, Daryl Arthur, and Kenneth Fareed, who are all on one-year deals right now, and if they can move all three of those into other teams' cap space, they would save a ton of money. So another deal that might make sense for the Bulls is to take on those three contracts and send back Felicio. The Bulls might be able to get a pick, but I think if they send back Felicio, they probably won't get a pick in that deal. But you never know. I think that is another scenario that might work out. Now, I'm also a big fan of taking back picks if I can get that too, and taking on salary. So those would be the two options. But I think one of the key things here that I would love to do is be able to unload Felicio's contract as part of a way to use our cap room now. And I think if you take some team that's going to pay a lot of luxury tax money and you save them, you know, $20 million in luxury tax, well, $20 million plus the luxury tax on top of it, I think you're going to really make some team pretty happy, and they'll be willing to take on those extra 2 years of Felicio's deal when they net out 20 savings this year, which, you know, really ends up saving them somewhere between, what, like $50 million, $60 million in cash. So I think that becomes a very good deal for one of those teams. So I think the Bulls will have that type of opportunity, and that might be something to do. Now, if you get a pick instead of moving Felicio, I think that's fine too, but I think moving Felicio might be a good idea, and here's why. So the rest of my plan is then, basically, you don't want to sign anyone this year. I think everyone as a Bulls fan is pretty much on board with that. We're not in to bring in talent this year. So you're not trying to bring in any talent this year. You pretty much have your roster full of guys anyway right now. So you keep your roster as it is. And then you just see if you win. And if you win, that's great. And if you don't win, it's okay. You're going to get another lottery pick next year. And you'll have two max salary slots open next year, depending what happens. So now, the other key to this is that you have to sign Zach LaVine to a 1+1 deal. Not exactly like the Mirotić thing where you have a one and a team option. You sign him to a 2-year deal where the second year is fully non-guaranteed. Probably have to pay a little bit more in that deal to get that. And you make the guarantee date July 14th, maybe even July 7th is good enough. You make it, you know, something like that. Now, once you have this, you're bringing back the band. You've got all your young prospects. If Zach LaVine becomes a superstar next year, you just opt him into that deal, and then you renegotiate with him the next year as an unrestricted free agent, but you have the most money to offer him, and that becomes still a very nice deal for you, the Bulls. If Zach LaVine ends up being a bust, you just waive him and let him go. And if he ends up being a good player, but maybe not an elite player, then you wait to see what you do in free agency. Now, in free agency, there's going to be a lot of guys available. You're going to have Chris Paul, you're going to have Kyrie Irving, getting my star point guards confused, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, possibly, if he signs a 1+1, which a lot of people think he might do. Kevin Durant looks like he will sign a 1+1, so he'll be available. Klay Thompson's deal will be up. Then you got Kawhi Leonard, whose deal will be up. And so there'll be a lot of guys out there who are star players. Now, we kind of expect that Kevin Durant is going to go back to Golden State. We kind of expect LeBron to go wherever the best situation is or whatever he feels like doing. I mean, who knows with LeBron, really? And we kind of expect Kawhi to go to the Lakers because that's what all the rumors are. But all the rumors up until today were about LeBron James going to the Lakers, and that seems a little far-fetched at the moment. There were rumors about Paul George going to the Lakers a year ago that there was no way Oklahoma City would keep him. And so, to me, I think when you look at this, it means really that a lot of these rumors about everyone going to the Lakers are put out there by the Lakers, trying to draw their own hype. But it doesn't seem like maybe these things are all that accurate. Now they're out there courting DeMarcus Cousins. And so, as things go, the Bulls will probably, in my opinion, have a better core than the Lakers next year. They'll be in the East, which should be the easier conference. And they will have a lot of pieces. Now, maybe you can't get Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson or whoever you feel the Kevin Durant and LeBron James, whomever you feel the two best people would be. Probably not. But you might be able to get, say, Jimmy Butler. I think that's pretty reasonable that he'll come back. And I know some Bulls fans would be excited about that, and some are, like, groaning. But you might be able to get Jimmy Butler and, say, Kyrie Irving. And I think if you could do something like that, and then Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. both become, you know, good players. Lauri continues his development. And say they both become guys who are stretch players who can shoot threes. And then you just find one other guard, even you wouldn't be able to keep Levine under these circumstances. You'd have to waive him. Then all of a sudden the Bulls lineup looks really, really stacked. And I think they're a team that could potentially get to the finals, depending what happens with LeBron. If he goes to Philly, that seems like a really sweet spot for them if they stay healthy. So it'll be interesting to see how it folds up. But it gives you a chance to chase two max free agents. And who knows what'll go wrong in the next year? Who knows what'll happen in Golden State? I mean, you know, it's like it seems crazy now to think that Klay and Durant would leave, but another year, maybe it won't be crazy. Maybe some crazy stuff will happen there. And same with Kawhi Leonard. You know, it seems like he wants to go to LA, but maybe that's just a pile of crap and it's completely untrue. And he wants to go to a better situation, and Chicago might be that situation. So you just don't really know how these things will turn out. But you put yourself in position by doing this to sign two max guys, so you have room for two guys to come together. And unlike the Lakers this year, where they've kind of got, you know, guys that maybe people aren't so excited about. You know, they had a little bit better record than the Bulls, but I expect the Bulls will have a much better record next year at those two slots open than the Lakers do this year. And I think if the Lakers, you know, had a little bit better situation, more talent around them, it might have been compelling. But they would even have to get rid of a lot of the guys that help them get to as good as they are. It would basically be these two max spots, Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram. And if they had to trade for Leonard, it would really be like almost nothing. And so it's just not a lot there. The Bulls would have tremendous depth. You know, they would have two max slots, and they would get to keep Dunn, Portis, potentially, depending on how things work out. This is where trading Felicio is the key, because if you move him, you might be able to keep Portis and Dunn. Markkanen, Carter Jr., Valentine. I know a lot of people maybe don't think he's the best. But I think that would be five, and Hutchison, if he turns into anything. I tend not to think so highly of the 22 picks, plus whoever their 2019 pick ends up being, which maybe it's like a late lottery or mid-first round if they sneak into the playoffs. Say somewhere between 10 and 15. I think all of a sudden that's like a core where you have tremendous depth. You add two stars to that, and that's a core that can already do a lot of things. So I think that's an exciting group of players and talent to have out there. And I think the Bulls would be probably the premier free agent destination for people who aren't on teams where they want to stay and leave. And that the problem, like I said, is a lot of the guys you kind of expect maybe want to stay where they're at. But I think the Bulls would be really, really interesting. It's not hard for me to envision a scenario where Kyrie Irving does not end up back in Boston in a year. I think he'd be available. And if the Bulls got Kyrie, it would not be difficult for me to imagine the Bulls also bringing Jimmy Butler. I think that's a very reasonable thing that might happen. And so if they bring those two guys back, I think that would actually be a team that would be pretty exciting, regardless of how much window you think they have, which might not be that much. If you've got Kyrie, Butler, and Markkanen as your big three, and Carter, Portis, Valentine, Hutchison, and whoever your 2019 pick, if any of those guys pan out, and you've got Dunn coming off the bench where he's no longer a lead guard, I think that's a team that could really wreck some stuff. I mean, it really is. That's not a team I think could probably win a title unless they get a little lucky. But that's a team that I could easily see making it out of the East, depending on how different people develop and what happens. I mean, it's a team that could legitimately make a run for the finals, and I think I would put them better than most teams in the league. So you leave yourself open to that kind of thing. And that's why, one, you don't want to sign LaVine to a long-term deal this summer. You hope that no one makes an offer, and really it's down to probably the Lakers, but there's been no indication that they're interested. The Hawks, but they have made it really clear that they're not interested in taking on anyone. Though it would be an interesting gamble for them only because LaVine might fit their timeline. The Kings, whom he's been linked to, and I think maybe he's just linked to them because the Kings are crazy and will just believe that the Kings would do anything. They have made a bunch of weird signings, and Zach LaVine, just paying him a ton of money, would not be an un-Kings-like thing to do. It would actually be a very Kings-like thing to do. So there is that possibility out there as well. And so if any of that happens and you end up having to match, I think I lean towards just letting Zach go. At that point, you're basically gambling. Do I want two max free agents next year? A possibility. And there's a good possibility you get shut out. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a good possibility you get shut out next year. But would you rather have that possibility, or would you rather have Zach LaVine plus one max slot and then hope that Zach LaVine turns into a guy good enough to justify another player coming here? And I think I would rather have the two max slots. We've seen star players want to play with each other. They want to team up. So I think having two max slots really adds something to you. You know, imagine a scenario where, say, there's some falling out in the Warriors locker room and things go south for some reason. Who knows what? Like, just who knows what? And Klay and Durant both just want to get out but want to play together. And the Bulls can just be like, bam, here you go. Max salary for both of you. We're both in. You know, like, that seems far-fetched at this point because everything has just been rainbows over there and probably will be. Probably. But those are the types of things you put yourself in position for. Like, that's the way you put yourself in position to win a title. Now, what's the worst case that happens if you get Zach on this 1+1 deal and everything else turns out? The worst case is you did exactly what you thought you were going to do anyway, which is just see if your core grows. You know, and just keep it trying to accumulate assets. If you get shut out, you get shut out. Then what you do is you try to, again, play the take on short-term deals to get extra assets. Maybe that's, you know, draft picks if we can do that this year with our space, or if we can unload Felicio so we have enough room to keep Portis next year and still have that space. Or if we unload Felicio, we could then keep Nwaba this year into his space. So that kind of gives you a little bit more flexibility and a few more options. And I think that is why the Bulls should try to look at that type of scenario, possibly thinking, like, I'm going to dump Felicio rather than trying to get a first-round pick out of Denver, because I think the competition there is going to be very fierce to get those picks. I think there's some teams that just want to take on salary and get paid back in picks. And so because there's maybe two or three teams that want to do that, I think the types of picks out there are going to be very poor, and you're going to be heavily protected because all of a sudden Atlanta will just say, yeah, I'll do it for top 20 protection instead of, you know, top 15 protection, you know, or things like that. And so that's where things get a little dicey for these teams. So looking over the rest of free agency, before I get into the rest of free agencies, continue. The other part of this plan that makes sense is that if you strike out in 2019, you roll it back, to just continue my thought, you roll it back, you try again. In 2020, you can still have room for two max free agents, and your core will be even better. At 2020, you'll either have had to have given up on Portis, if you want to do that, or you'll have to give up on Dunn, or both, because Dunn will be a restricted free agent. And your rookie salary scales will go up a little bit, but the Bulls should still have a very strong core at that point. And so you can maybe play this game two times and hope that you get lucky in one of these years and lure two stars to play for your team. And if you have good other players, and if the Bulls did a good job in the draft and they established good talent, I think especially if they can make it to the eighth seed, I think that becomes really important. If you make it to the playoffs with this young group, you make it to the playoffs, and you then have everyone on your roster under 25, and pretty much all the key guys that got you there are going to return, and you can add two max free agents to your team, by default, that is a team that is probably top four or five in the NBA, a team that has legitimate chance. Now, how legitimate a chance you have when you've got the Warriors out there might be a little dicey. I mean, this team is so difficult. But when we look at a team like the Rockets, who basically have two superstars, Trevor Ariza, who now left, which is terrible for them, two superstars and some good players, the Bulls could easily have, you know, a better cast than the Rockets have around their two stars. Can they be as well coached? Can they get two guys as good as Hard and Paul? Who knows? But they would be a team that should legitimately be in the running. So I think that's exciting to me. I think that is what the Bulls should do. It gives you 2 years to try and capitalize on free agency before you really have to deal with Markkanen's extension, which will probably be large. And just it'll give the Bulls a lot of flexibility. Maybe they can use some of that room this year to get extra draft assets. Maybe if they strike out in 2019, they can use some of that room to get draft assets for 2020. So I think it's one of those things where you just keep trying to do that. And that is the way where you've now kept your options open. You've got a lot of guys who are young and coming up and building to the draft. And then you've also got a lot of space to try and get some free agents. And you have to try and hope that all of these things can be put together and work out well. So that's my plan for the Chicago Bulls this offseason. And so the key, if you can do it, trade Felicio by using your cap room. So he's gone. Open up a little bit more room for you. If you can't do that, try and get back extra picks with your cap room, which I think everyone is about. You try and do either. If you can do both, even better. But you try and do those things. That's what you use your cap room for. Make sure you got the two max slots for 2019. Sign LaVine to the 1+ unguaranteed second year, different from the 1-1 a little bit, but unguaranteed, so you can wipe him completely off the books if you need to, and you don't have to make that decision until after you know if someone is coming to you or not coming to you. I think that is the key, because now if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, all right, we keep LaVine, we see if he, you know, can pan out in some of this potential, and then if he does, we still have the option of paying him as well. So I think that gives the Bulls pretty much ultimate flexibility. The downsides, you probably aren't going to sign Nwaba this year, and you can't sign Zach LaVine long term this year. So you're really basically, with this move, you're basically saying, I'm going to give up on the potential of signing Zach to a super long term deal and him becoming a star player, which could be a good value add if it worked out, but I'm going to give up on that potential for the potential of having free agents come in. And then you might have to give out Portis if you want to play again for 2020. So that's kind of where I'm sitting at with the Bulls. So now on to the rest of free agency. Sorry to fool you guys last time. So the Paul George thing I mentioned, I think great move for the Thunder, and I think an interesting and probably terrifying outcome for the Lakers, because to me, there's no way the Spurs are going to get a deal done with the Lakers fast enough to convince LeBron James to go there. And I think that is the difficulty the Lakers have right now as well, is even if they get Kawhi, it's hard to see the scenario where they hang on to enough that LeBron wants to go and join Kawhi, and then Kawhi is going to be like, what am I doing here? I think in some ways, if they have to trade for Kawhi and then they end up with DeMarcus Cousins and they can't get LeBron, and then they have to fill in like spare parts there and can't get good parts, I think there's a real good chance Kawhi will just flee the Lakers in a year. I mean, a really good chance, because they won't have anything. I mean, it'll be terrible. And so I think that would actually be a great scenario for the Bulls. Now, if LeBron and Kawhi go there, maybe they get enough parts and it's interesting, but we'll see. I think it's unlikely. We'll see what happens. That's what I hate about this. It could all be gone today. So other moves around the league that were interesting for the Bulls. Trevor Ariza goes to the Phoenix Suns. And the interesting thing for the Bulls about this is the Suns used all their cap room on Trevor Ariza on a one-year deal. Seems really bizarre. If you're the Suns, I can't imagine why you would do that. You just traded for Mikal Bridges. Like, I don't know what you need to get another one-year rental small forward for. That just makes very little sense to me. And I would think the Suns would have rather tried to play the game of taking on salary to get extra draft assets. It just seems to make so much more sense if you're the Suns. So, ridiculously poor move for the Suns. Terrible outcome for the Rockets as well, right? Because now they lose Ariza, and they're going to be significantly hampered. So, it's really a move that... It seems like maybe the Warriors bribed the Suns to do this. I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy move. And we have the Dallas Mavericks coming to terms with DeAndre Jordan on a one-year deal, which is basically the same as he was going to get if he took his option. That also, to me, is a little crazy. So DeAndre Jordan opts out, and it kind of feels like if he had just opted in and he was going to do this one-year deal with Dallas, and maybe he was hoping Dallas would do a long-term deal, and they didn't. But if he's going to do a one-year deal with Dallas, you could have opted in and tried to make it like a trade into Dallas's cap space, giving the Clippers a huge trade exception and giving Dallas the ability to sign him with bird rights next year, because he's not going to have bird rights now with Dallas after signing a one-year deal. So that is a really weird situation too, where it just seems like completely non-optimized as to how that ended up working out. But the nice thing about that as well is it chewed up all of Dallas's cap room. The Indiana Pacers pulled a Felicio move by taking Doug McDermott for 3 years. And so whatever you want to say about Doug McDermott, I know Bulls fans will be a little emotional about him. I think it's fine. Like, I don't think it's a terrible, terrible, awful signing or anything to pay him 3 years and $21.7 million a year, a little under the mid-level exception. And so if he develops and continues to grow and it just becomes like a Kyle Korver-esque player who can shoot and can't play defense, I think he's worth that money. It's not so awful. But again, it's like you're the Pacers. You have this cap room, and you went early on Doug McDermott. Like, was there going to be, like, a line to get Doug McDermott if you waited? Like, I just don't see where you had to – I think you ended up overpaying by jumping in on the market early. And, I mean, I would have probably rather gone with Pope than McDermott, who seems like potentially a more complete player and also probably won't end up getting this much money. So I right around it. I don't know. So it's an oddball move, but also nice because the Pacers were a team that had extra money. And so now that money is gone. There's a bunch of other signings. I think the other one that's weird to me is where the Nuggets came to terms with Jokic. And, like, I just don't know why they – I mean, I kind of get it, right? If they kept his option, he would have been an unrestricted free agent next year. So they agreed to basically to not pick up his option and have him sign for near-max money this year. And now they have this massive luxury tax bill. I mean, if you're the Nuggets, don't you just say, we're going to make him opt in, and then we will avoid all this luxury tax. We're going to have like $20 million plus go off the books next year, and we don't have to pay any tax. And then next year, we'll just gamble on being the team he signs with as an unrestricted free agent because we can offer him more years and more money. Like, it seems like, and he can just tell his agent, look, you know, so the Nuggets really did a nice thing for this guy, right? I mean, like, incredibly nice thing for this guy to do that. I thought that was just crazy that they're willing to take and potentially pay all this luxury tax money or have to figure out a way to get out of the money. And I think that is going to be a very challenging thing. So the impact on that for the Bulls then, of course, is that they desperately now need to get out of the salary cap. Under the luxury tax. And that will, you know, hopefully push them to make one of those trades that, you know, I mentioned earlier where they take on Felicio or they give up a pick to the Bulls. And we'll see how things go with that. But other than that, in free agency, I don't see a whole lot that's interesting. Lots of bit players signing here and there. The Lakers now talking to DeMarcus Cousins in theory. I think Rudy Gay re-upped with the Spurs for a year. Just nothing really big. So what it comes down to now is you've only got a few teams left with real money on the table. I think, if memory serves me correctly, it comes down to the Lakers with just a crap ton of money. The Atlanta Hawks, you've got maybe $19-20 million or so left. The Chicago Bulls, who, depending on what they do with LaVine and other stuff, have about $25 million left. And the Sacramento Kings, who I think it's like $17 or $18 million or so left. Which also means if they offer a deal to LaVine, they can't offer something like totally crazy that would make you like super scared if you're Chicago. Like, if they offered him the most they could and it starts at 18, that's probably more than I want to pay. But it's not like a max. You know, it still actually gives the Bulls some room for some upside in that deal if they want to match it. I probably would let LaVine walk myself, but I would also understand if they decide to match it. So I think at this point the Bulls are in pretty good shape in free agency to make something happen. You know, you're just rooting for all these other teams to use their cap room. If you're the Chicago Bulls, don't sign anyone that takes more than a year. I don't care what the value is. Don't sign anyone that takes more than a year. Leave all your room open for next year and play that game. There's a good chance you're going to lose. And if they lose, I'm sure everyone will be critical and be like, oh, the Bulls can't sign anyone, blah, blah, blah. Well, it looks like the Lakers aren't going to sign anyone this year. So sometimes it's hard to sign people. But you have to give yourself the opportunity. You have to just give yourself the opportunity to be a player. So you've done all this work to add these quality young assets to your team. You've got a team that looks like it can maybe push for the playoffs without having to add any big name pieces with the young guys that they have and have room for two max guys next year. I think you leave that open and you just try and see what you can bring in. And that is your path that actually gives you some chance at a title. It gives you some chance at a title. So that is what I like about that plan. And that's all I got. That's all I got for this week. Next week, I will try and break down all of NBA free agency, whatever has happened, and discuss what's going on. I think we'll have a lot of clarity on where we are with the different players at that point. So should be good. We'll see what happens then. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Doug_Tonis. and also Catch the Big Red Bus with myself and Fred Pfeiffer. I'm sure we'll be recording a new episode of that sometime soon as well. And I'll talk to you guys next week.